Give you lots in 5 seconds.
Okay. Quaxkina, my name is Alexandre Nicodo. I'm here with my colleague André Didomen, and this week we have Carl Chevrier as a guest. So, Carl, if you could introduce yourself.
My name is Carl Chevrier. I'm a Temiskaming First Nation person. I'm an Algonquin artist, very versatile. I work in many mediums. I use the land for my canvas, and I also help people find healing, and we need that today. So, yeah, miigwech, hello.
I would like you to tell us how you became an artist. I think it was a vocation. You start very young, and then you get some formation, some training. Then can you give us a glimpse of this journey?
Life, you know, begins with the people who want to change it. And sometimes, you know, you lose a lot, but you gain lots. And I lost a lot of my friends when I was drinking, doing drugs. And, you know, sometimes you get tired of that. And I had a gift that it was ready to come out of me, but the alcohol and drugs were keeping it in me, but also my friends. So when I started to go on this journey of healing, I found a healing through my work, through my art, through my culture. And it was a great beginning, because with that, if I kept going, I lost my parents. They cut the ties because I was into a world where they didn't want me to go, drugs, alcohol. And when I started to come back on my journey to start find out the healing, and I started to connect with my parents again. My father gave me the ability to work with my hands and create, and my mother gave me the culture to move on and share and open people's eyes. And those are good qualities to have, especially when you're going into a world where there's so much uncertainty. So it's good to have that. And becoming an artist was, you know, I played hockey and I drank a lot. And when I had a knee injury, I had time to think, you know, change my life, because I seen my life going down where my uncle was. He was alcohol, and he passed away with alcoholism and stuff. So I didn't want to go down there. So I decided to change my life. First was giving up the drinking and the alcohol, the drugs, friends. So when you get out of that fire, I say it's a fire because you came out of that fire where there was a lot of drugs and alcohol and a lot of, you know, sparks. And so you come out of there and you're clean. You want to clean up, and you start to walk this good 70 road for, you know, the healing part and to find out who you are inside. So when I became an artist, my parents started to help me out a lot. My mother would teach me, and my father would help me build my studio, and it was a great beginning. So from that point on, I was just, you know, things happen for a reason. We just have to find out, you know, how to break down those barriers to get to that answer. And once you find that out, there's so many possibilities. I share my culture. I share my gifts, my studio. And I tell people, why should I learn canoe building? I said, because it took me to places I never thought it would take me. I went to Brussels, Europe, to build a canoe, and people were amazed about our culture and our spirituality, our gifts. And so it was worthwhile to keep going. So it has, in 2014, I became a professional artist. I was applying for grants and grants, and at last I had somebody help me and said, why do you keep on putting amateur? You're a professional. So after I put professional, I received my grants. So, but, you know, walking this journey is such a hard road, because in order to give up something, in order to gain something, you have to give up something. So I gave up that alcohol and drugs, but also my friends. So when one of my friends comes up to me and says, hey, Carl, I'm healing now. It's 3 months I haven't done drugs or alcohol. Did you go back into that fire? He said, what fire? You came out of that fire. In order to heal, you say you're healed, go back into it and come out. If you come out the same way you went in, yes, you're on the road of healing, but keep healing. I haven't drank for 32 years. And I feel great every moment I get up, because I know the lives that I'm going to be touching, like, you know, helping people open their eyes, because we're not alone on this planet and our future generation is coming behind us. So teaching them art for healing and teaching them culture to find out their identity, and, you know, having the kids come over after school to work on a program with me is awesome, because when you're ready to learn, I'm ready to teach. In the meantime, you know, I'm working with the other groups, but not leaving the other student behind. I go back to him or her, and I, you know, catch up to the other groups and, you know, find the young ones, have their voice. So those are all reasons that becoming an artist is a wonderful journey for me. And I bring people with me and, you know, open their eyes and open their hearts and their creativity. So arts is a great place for me to, you know, to pass down the knowledge and culture.
Yeah. We will, of course, follow up a conversation. There is many topics interesting in what you say. But we would like to know more also about you. And I know you are from the Temiskaming community. You grew up in the community. And also you went to, I don't think it operates no more, but there was an art school in Elliott Lake where you have been for a few years too. Can you speak about the community and the school and how it brings you where you are now?
You know, community is a place where people get to know each other and live with each other. And my community is a very, very loving community and shares a lot. And, you know, when there's something goes on, we all pull together as one. So that is a wonderful community, but yet still needs a lot of healing. And it's like every other place, you know, there's good and the bad that makes a balance in life. You got to have one with the other. You know, me going to art school was the best decision I ever made, because when I go into schools and talk to the kids about the artwork and artists and, you know, the world of art, it brings me back to my teachings. When I was 17, I was the best architect designer in the school. And the teacher asked me, can we send their work up to a friend of mine? And I said, sure. I didn't care. You know, I was 17. So he sent the work up. And that summer, I received an apply from this company, wanted to put me through architect school, pay my everything, my lodging. They had a nice package for me. And at the end of the letter, I said, no, I don't want to go up there. I want to stay with my friends, drink and drugs. You know, that's good. Bad decision. Very bad decision. That's one of those doors that I closed myself. But, you know, learning the kids how to make a decision and also to find out who you are as an artist, so you can find these little openings, like going to art school. Elliott Lake was one of the art schools that I was looking for, especially when it comes to culture. I went into school as a painter and I came out a sculptor. So I was painting to a point where my paintings would fall off the canvas. So my faculty teacher that was helping me, he says, why don't you go into carving as a sculpting? And because you can see and feel, you can shape and do whatever you want with it. So I said, I'll try it. So my first piece I worked with was a piece of clay. And the teacher was teaching me, he says, wow, he says, you have a knack in it. He says, keep going, because your first one, you hang on to that, because it's going to go back to the beginning. You always go back to the beginning. So, you know, you could use that. And it opened up a world for me. It was, you know, creativity. A world where you can, you know, use what you have, the knowledge that you gain, the material Mother Earth furnishes, from arts to crafts. And a canoe builder is a big step forward for me, because it opens many doors for other people to come in to learn how to use nature in a good way. And when I was in art school, it took me back to the culture, because it was a traditional Native art program. 4 years of my life into this program, and it was the best thing I ever did, decision, you know, wise. I learned how to, you know, use the tools that they give me to express myself. And that was a big part of me that was missing. So don't be scared to express yourself, especially when it comes to the art. Because if you can't speak it, you can change that word into a form. And that's what I'm teaching right now is get up and use your voice. Kids, get up and look at your future, you know?
We should have mentioned at the beginning, you have just been recognized as a master of living heritage, arts heritage, maître des arts vivants by the Conseil québécois du patrimoine vivant. So congratulations. That's something very, very important. And what struck me is also when you speak up, well, when we speak about the canoe, we can obviously we say the canoe is mean of transportation on the water. That's it. But when you speak about birch bark canoe, it's a lot more than immediate use of it. It is in relation with a whole meaning and a whole culture. And it's interesting because in that sense, the canoe is also a work of art.
Yes, it is. For me, I can go through canoe building in many steps, in many, many roads. I always say there's a road that we can open and we can go down it. And when we open this door to go down this road of construction of a birch bark canoe, you can do it in several ways. And each way you do it, you know, it's a learning experience. For one, I helped out one of my friends. She was in a bind because she had this a big event. And the persons that were supposed to go there to teach culture, they didn't show up. So she called me up. I'm in a bind. I said, I will not leave my friends, you know, out there. I will help. So when she says, are you sure you're going to come? I said, if I don't show up, I'm either sick or dead. So those are my words. I'm just telling people my words mean a lot to me. When I give my word to someone, I will show up to help them. And I went there and I came up. I said, okay, I got to do something. So I'm going to do the three stages of canoe building, I tell them. The first stage is respect. If you could harvest and take what you need to build a craft that you can float on and resist the water and, you know, and harvest without destroying the forest, you earn your respect. So, which means you go to step two, the teachings, you get the knowledge, the history, you know, everything that you need to know because you earned your respect. And once you have all that, you now can build your canoe. So once you're finished with your canoe, your third step is life with your canoe. People, well, life, I just take it and put it in the water. No, you climbed the trees to take the bark off of it. You dug on your hands and knees to take the roots out of the ground. And you split all the wood by hand for sheeting, to make the ribs, the gunnels. But you didn't destroy the forest. You just took what you need. Now you got your respect. So your life with it, you made a craft that's unique, one of a kind in the world. It's used for transport. But also it'll use to shelter you because you can go underneath for shelter. And also it'll heal you because the spruce gum and the bear fat that we use to mix the steel, the canoe, is two medicines. So now you have healing. Now, if where you are, it's all wet, it never started a fire. Well, you heating up your spruce gum and you put it on that wood and you'll see it'll burn. It'll keep you warm. So you have all this knowledge that you made from Mother Earth, but also you gained your respect, but also you can pass this down to your son and pass it down to your immediate family and so on. And you spend your life with it. And once you finish with it and you can't use it anymore, instead of leaving it rot beside your garage or your studio or whatever, you take it back into the forest and you give it back to Mother Earth. And you give your ceremony and you do your offering. And now you return what you borrowed of it 60 years ago, 50 years ago. Your contract with Mother Earth is finished. You can say, Miigwech, I made a life with something that I used, but I didn't destroy, something that I took, but I used it in a good way, and something that I've learned to teach to my younger ones. So that knowledge is getting passed down and passed down and passed down. So my goal is to find somebody that I can give this gift to, you know, so they could start a journey of, you know, healing and, you know, opening people's eyes, because we need to do that. And my elder says, do not leave this gift with you when you leave this planet. Pass it down, because somebody down there has something to give back to the community, and sharing hope and, you know, respect is all what we need to walk with a good road and a good heart. So
I remember Inuit Carver was saying that he was not creating something with the rock. He was just making the rock express what was already in it. And I was looking at your work, and I was thinking you have also this kind of relation with natural material you use. You are somehow in dialogue with the natural elements that are coming to be a part of your work. Am I right?
Yes. I always like to find material when I'm going out harvesting. I don't harvest not just for the material for the canoe, but also I harvest for making tools. And sometimes I would be commissioned to do eagle staffs or, you know, things like that, or learn how to do teepees, you know, teach them, you know, how to use the land in a good way. The material was always here, just that, you know, companies intend to go out and get in a large scale and sell it into large quantities. On the other hand, we go out and we give some tobacco and we take what we need, just, and then we use what we can, and then we, you know, we put it back. So it's those things that we forgot, but sharing the knowledge of the land to the people, you know, it's always a good eye opener. When I was getting my teachings for the canoe, the guy, my elder, says, when you have questions, you come back and see me. I said, questions? He already showed me how to use the land, how to use everything. Why should I have questions? I said, okay, I'll be back, though. I don't know when, but he says, you'll be back. So I go out hunting with my friends. We'll make a line, and we go into the bush, and we hear them shooting, and they come back. Hey, I got two rabbits, one partridge. And they come back to see me and say, this guy's hugging trees. So I'm hugging this big birch, and I'm putting my arms around it, and I could say, wow, that would make a nice canoe. So I look on the sides, and I look up the sides, and I said, that's my sides and the bottom of my canoe. So I need to hug the tree, and I tell the tree, good morning. And I tell the plants and the flowers and, you know, everything. And then I see the animals. And so I go back to my elder, and I said, what did you do to me? He says, Carl, he says, things have changed for you. I said, what happened? I go and hunt with my friends, and I'm hugging trees and saying hello to the plants and the flowers and the animals. Oh, he says, the animals last. When we first met, I told you, tell me about yourself. So I go and hunt, I shoot the animals, I'm out, I clean, I take the, you know, never mentioned the trees. Now you're saying, here's the trees, hugging, say good morning to the flowers and the plants and the animals at last. They're here for a reason, find out. So when you make the connection with Mother Earth, then everything becomes one. It's so nice to go out there and say hello to the animals and the trees and the plants and use what we have to in a good way and kill if we have to survive. But they're here for us, and we just have to, you know, just respect what we can and take what we can without destroying. So
I felt the same when I was learning my language. Because I became a translator, and then once I started learning new words that I used to know, and once I go back to the bush, I saw all the trees, all the medicine that my kokum used to make, and now I acknowledge them. But before that, it was just the forest for me, like it's like a park. Yeah. But now when I go to the bush, I see everything.
Yeah, for the first time, and that's what I noticed about opening the eyes and lifting your heart and, you know, looking at it for the first time for a long time and seeing everything, you know, what you can use. Oh, there's my paddle. Oh, there's my birch bark. There's my canoe. There's my basket. And, you know, seeing the roots in the ground, and, you know, it's respecting the land, Because when I went out collecting roots by myself, I was pulling the roots and I could see a black shadow on my right side. I looked, it's gone. I pull again and I see it passing on my left side. So I look and it's gone. So I come to the end of my route. I look up and that bear's sitting down there looking at me. So I just take my route and he's just curious. You know, he was just a young fellow. And so I just took my route and I backed away and I said, Mukwa, I'm leaving. And, you know, this place, because I am invading his territory. So I bow and I walk away backwards. So I take what I need and I go. It's the way we were taught, and you know, we forgot those teachings. So it's nice to bring them back and show the young ones that, you know, with hard work and, you know, respecting the land, your kids would have something to live off of, not destroy everything and take everything, the fires and everything else that comes with it. So it's good to have that, you know, person to open the doors for the kids to come through and here, look at the nice clean world that you can make. So keep on walking with those eyes open and look ahead, but stop, look behind once in a while. This is why, to see if everything's still growing. If it is, keep walking, because you know behind you, your future has a good way of walking with a good, healthy future. And that's the best way to do it.
Is there a work of art you did that you are particularly fond of, you are really proud of created?
I just finished one with 85 students in Val-d'Or, Quebec, and it was working with the four elements of the world, fire, water, air, and ground. And I told the teacher, have the kids talk about those elements and let give them to me and let me see what I can do with it. So when I got back their information on their elements, fire, for instance, last year the fire was burning in Quebec. The kids were all scared. They were, you know, they were taught they couldn't put it out, and that made them scared. So I'm thinking, I said, wow, these kids are really worried about what's going on, you know. And then they talked about the water is pure, clean, but plastic. I said, really, you know, that makes a balance for me. So I said, I'm going to create a world for them that, you know, one part is fire. So I made one quarter of the world with sticks, with wood, and then we burnt it, and then we have it. We made another part with water, but we use all plastic bottles to fill in to make the world. And we used air. We used parts of a computer, because airwaves today is a way to communicate through l'ordinateur, a computer. And they did all that, and they made it completed like a world. And then on the top, they said, what are we going to do with ground? Ground, I give you hope. I said, I want you to fill that with ground, and I want you to plant trees, little flowers on it. So it'll grow to see that everything else is dying, but you still have hope. And I title it, Be That Change. Because now what you see happening, only you have to live through it, because you're starting a world where, you know, your journey starts as a young, as a baby, as a student, has an adult, and has an elder. That's a long walk, but you want to walk through a clean environment. So get up, I tell them, get up, raise your voice, do something. This is your future. This is what's going on. So it makes me real proud to have excuse me, kids participate in a piece of artwork like that. Now their footprints are left in the sand, and that makes it worthwhile to say, hey, look at their faces. They're just happy. And every time they see me going to the school, it's like, hey, Carl's here. What are we going to do? And for me, it's like, don't be shy. Don't be scared. You know, pass on what you have, because there's so much knowledge to gain and so much respect to earn that it'll be a lot better for everyone if you just, you know, pass down what you know and help. And, you know, it's a good world for you.
And yes, also another thing that I saw is that when you work with the youth, with the students in the school, you arrive with pretty ambitious project. I saw that one in your workshop. You propose to build a 16-foot canoe, which is not a small task, with a class. That's really something. Well, for me, it's big. And you are doing it with kids.
Well, I think we have to share with them, I think, our knowledge. Everybody has a role. Like I was saying, everybody has a role to play. And it wasn't the alcohol and the drugs that was taking that place. It was filling the void with something I couldn't find. I just wasn't asking the right questions and getting pointed in the wrong directions. And those are things that, you know, can make a good person turn bad. And when you find all these bad things, it's so easy to fall off your wagon, as they say. But when you're on it, there is so much to learn. You know, we're steady learning. And one of the things that I always talk about to kids is racism. I said, you weren't born with racism, you were taught racism. It's your choice to decide which is good and which is bad. But, you know, have a research to find out your answer, and keep on building what we have around us, you know, to, you know, when I started working in tourism back in 2000, we built the first canoe at this tourist site that was done since 125 years ago. And today the kids that was helping me in a student project, you know, they keep talking about it. It's, you know, today it's a different world to them. It's a lot faster, and it's you know, who's ready to get on that fast paced world. But, you know, the ones that stay behind is the ones that the knowledge and the keepers, but they keep pulling the kids off that fast track, and, you know, teaching them the respect. Because one woman said, I gave my daughter everything that I didn't have when I was growing up. Everything. You didn't give her everything. And she says, what did I give her? She didn't earn respect. Let her earn respect. It'll be complete. So those are the things that, you know, a lot of people are see today in today's world is that there's so much technology, is that the kids are falling into that technology and getting brought up by computers. And, you know, the world, people are out having a second job so they could have their kids, everything for them, but forgetting their place. Sometimes you have to go back into those steps and find out, you know, your role as a parent or role as an elder. I'm pushing 64 and people, give me some gray hair. Give me some gray hair. I'll take it anytime.
I can spare some of them. Also, I saw there is a video where you are working on a sculpture of a dancer. And can you speak about this work?
I always challenge myself. I always look at material and see, you know, what I can do with it. And working with different types of material is a beginning for a new medium for me. When you come into my studio and you look up at my up on the beams over the ceiling, there's so many hats hanging on that beam. People say, why do you have so many hats? I don't know. Sometimes when I come into the studio, I'm a painter. I take it off. I'm a welder. I'm a carver. I'm a craftsperson. So every hat has, you know, a new beginning. And for every beginning, it's looking at the material and see what you can do and what you can't do with it. I love to challenge myself, especially in metal. It gives me a chance to be creative in working with new material, but also it never stops creating. I'm always looking at how can I make my work easier by making the new tool while I'm bending this piece. And, you know, it's always a challenge to work with new material because you find out a lot, you know, they don't work together as good as you hoped they would, but also you learn, you know, how to separate them, how to use them, how to, you know, each one has a different technique. So once you learn all those techniques and you put them all together, I wanted to put a dancer because I grew up with 10 sisters and I understand the women's movement. I have no brothers. I'm the only son that my parents had. So understanding women a lot, having the jingle dress dancer in our entrance of our community tells the people that are entering, you know, First Nations area, First Nations reserve, or, you know, just to say that, welcome, Minupishuak. Same thing when I do exhibitions, when I do a solo exhibition, I always put the teepee in the entrance of my exhibition. People ask me, why did you put a teepee in your entrance? Because you're entering a Native space. This is all Native work that I'm using my culture to express myself, using it to teach others and using it for knowledge, because now they know who we are as a First Nation. And, you know, the technology that we gained was a bonus, but also hanging on to the past and sharing it with others will also go back to the beginning. If we lose all this technology, we have to go back to the beginning, and that's where, you know, life begins again. But we have to do something.
But the Jenigold residence is also a healing dance. So it connects also with the way you see the path that the but certainly the Anishinaabe, but also all the First Nations should take.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
Speaking of the Anishinaabe, recently we had at this podcast several persons speaking about Minwashing. There is an art movement now through the community. Do you see a kind of renaissance of the unity, a reconnection of the different Anishinaabe communities in Abitibi-Témiscamingue?
Yeah, you know, when I go out to exhibitions, I go out to, you know, visit, and I see so much potential in not only Algonquins, Ojibwe, Crees, and, you know, for me, I don't see any difference as long as the work will tell their healing, their story, their, you know, to speak of, you know, what happened or what's going on, or it's always a good way, because regardless of what nationality you are, I think art speaks in so many ways and so many forms and so many colors and so much, you know, it's a good healing part. And I always encourage people to keep finding that healing, keep drawing, and, you know, to express themselves through their work, and find your identity, because sometimes when you sign your work, you know, you find your identity as who you are as First Nation artists, and, you know, your goals that you set out for, and, you know, the healing part of the journey that you're on. People are always looking for this healing part, and I think we could go back to the beginning and you know, and open up our culture and share the language and share the food and share the dance, and that way we could see, you know, each other. And at that point, there's no color, there's no line barriers or nothing. Everybody's just united and enjoying. And I think that's what's missing in today, the unity.
And what project are you working on now?
I'm doing a sculpting 10 feet high out of metal for St. Thomas, Ontario. And it's titled Given Back to Mother Earth. And it's two women, 10 feet high, has a bowl on their lap, and they're pouring nutrition back into Mother Earth. Because I think we take enough that we don't put back enough. And I think that's what's missing in showing the people, you know, respect, showing them people put back a little bit and don't take without having a reason why. Or, you know, I'm hoping it'll speak to people, and it'll be something for me to share with people, especially the material. I'm using 2-inch flat steel, 3/4-inch round bar, and I'm not filling it in. I have 2-inch and a space, 2-inch and a space, 2-inch and space all the way through the sculpting. And they said, why didn't you fill it in? Because we still have a lot to learn from each other. I still have a lot to teach, and it's not complete. And I started getting into this style of work back in school, where I had a bear about 12 inches high, and I wrapped it, and at this title, there was no more. He was usually a bear would mark out their territory by scratching the tree and, you know, leaving their scent and all this other stuff. And there was no tree for him to scratch, but he was standing on the base of the tree for the base. And a lot of people said, why didn't you fill it in, the bear? Well, we captured them, the animals. We put them in zoos and we look at them through bars. It's a false prison, false identity for them, we're giving them. And that's why I love doing that kind of work, where the bear is full, empty, full, empty. We're looking at them through the bars, and a lot of people stop outside. Can you tell me why you didn't fill it in? Because we're looking at the bars. We're always looking through the bars at the animal. That's what we see.
We're in St. Thomas. I don't.
It's close to Toronto. We went and do a piece of artwork, me and another artist. Mm-hmm. We did a schooner. It's an old ship with a long bow, and they pick up rocks from the shore, underneath the water, and take them shore. And we had the canoe. So we did it in stainless steel, and that was quite a challenge. First time working with it, that's really, really, really tough. But we succeeded. We took it down to St. Thomas, and we put it along the beach, and we put it along, the, you know, in the sand and everything, where it just looked like a skeleton. And people could come in and walk underneath the arch and, you know, be a part of the history. And, you know, why is it here? And they ask questions about it. And, you know, it's two cultures working together to, you know, to move forward. And that's what the whole project was about. And right now I could work with non-native artists. It's good because we share cultures, we share work, we share history. And, you know, sometimes we could borrow their history, put in ours, and they could just do the same with ours. So it's having that moment in time where we can actually work together and create something together and show people.
Yes, I think that's a good period now, because I remember me, I have white hairs. So I remember, maybe 20 years ago, the Aboriginal arts were despised by the general society, were marginalized, and it would have been more difficult to establish equal dialogue with an artist from another origin, because all the society was telling this guy that he was superior to the other.
Especially when residential school came out, more artists, native artists, were getting selected to do work for Truth and Reconciliation. I think that's when they figured, I'm just my opinion, they said, well, you know, it has to be a First Nation artist to do the work, so that way it completes, you know, what went on. And I was selected a few times to do some artwork, commission work, to work on stuff for museums and stuff. I did one for Ville Marie. It was titled Run No More. And when I went and looked into the history of the site that they gave me, I see this young boy, it looks like in jail clothes, with chains on his ankle and his hands. And he was caught running back home. And they told him, now try to run. You're not going to run anymore. So I titled it Run No More. But it was the point where the boy was running home, and I was looking for the certain antler, deer antler, to do the sculpting. And I wanted to catch it like of the flash. You know, he has this flare behind him. And I happened to find one antler that looked like what I was telling you, that he could put the pack sack on his back, but the Tikanagan can take the hair out, but use the long braids. Can use the drum, but can't teach it, can't play it. And all this was something for me to look at, and it was hard to look at these things, because as I was working on it, I had to leave my studio because I was starting to get too angry looking at the info that I was looking at through the internet. It was really hard. And when I started doing my research, talking to the elders, that really hit hard too, because I had to go in, force myself to work, but not full. Like I wasn't there. It was too much anger in me. So I had to do a smudge, take a walk, go out of the studio and just, you know, feel when I'm okay to go back in. Because I think the studio is a good place where, you know, there's a lot of creativity. In my studio, there's a lot of Pink Floyd, and people come in, why do you play Pink Floyd so much? Because I can. It's my place. And I tell people that when you come in, you're coming into a creative zone. You come in to create because you can feel the energy, because there's no radio. Radio is so much knowledge, but also the good, the bad stuff. And I don't want anything negative inside my studio like that. So I always play Pink Floyd and listen to, you know, to my thoughts and go with that. So when we start to learn all this, you know, residential school is a big part of information that came out. You know, they talk about the Holocaust in school, but when the residential school came out, you know, it's kind of like a low topic. Nobody wants to talk about it, because every time we bring out topics that, you know, that happen in certain places, it's really hard. Especially, you know, when I sit on the advisory committee at the National Arts Center in Ottawa, and one of the performances that we went to look at was The Children of God, made by Mr. Payette in Vancouver. And that was really hard, because it went back into residential school again, but it encouraged me, because I was supposed to do a performance and I hesitated because I'm not a performer, but something in me said perform. So all the things that happened during the setup of this performance, things happen for a reason. I just go with it. I said, well, how'd you come up with the title, Run and Hide? It was in my sleep one night, and I was vision this guy standing in front of a medicine wheel with a pack sack. Oh, that's going to be a nice carving, they said. And I even have the title, it's Run and Hide. But it wasn't a sculpting, it was a play. So I met my sister a couple of years after, and a couple of months after, and she said, what are you doing now? I'm doing a performance titled Run and Hide. And it came to me one night when I was dreaming. And she says, yeah, hey, you know what? When I was, me and your older sister was young, mom would hear the boats coming in. She'd tell us, quick, run and hide. And my face just dropped. She says, why? What happened? I said, those are the words that came to me. I said, maybe that's mom helping me, you know, to find the courage to, you know, to go and do this performance, because some people take a lot to get up on and work for, you know, a whole day to perform, and you end up with 20 minutes of it after. But those 20 minutes are important, because those 20 minutes are what's going to tell your story. And that's what, you know, finding out about residential school was hard, but also it was a good healing. It put me in a place where I never thought I'd be performing. Wow. Carl, a performer? Not in my life. I don't sing. I don't perform, but once, that's it. And I move on.
So you did it in Ottawa in the workshop? Did you perform several times or just once?
Oh, just once. That was just once, but it was done in Ville-Marie, Le Vieux-Fort, and it was on the walkway where the Forêt Enchantée is, where you can go in and go to this place where it's all the cedar trees are all bent crooked, and it's enchanted forest, and that's where I did my performance. I felt like it was good to go back to the beginning again, where history started for us, and to, you know, to put in the residential school performance was an ideal spot for me. So a lot of meaning there.
Yeah, it's a good occasion to mention that Témiscamingue is certainly one of the most beautiful regions in Quebec. That's
yes.
it's not well known, but how beautiful it is, La Forêt Enchantée. I remember I paddled on the river, but what's the river? My memory. Anyway, that's so fantastic places there. And southern you go, wow, it's more and more fantastic, the sceneries, the nature. When the elders say we are blessed because we got everything we need from our land. When we go to the Danish land of Temiskaming, we understand exactly the meaning of that teaching.
Well, you know, growing up here all my life and understanding the waterways and you know, the people, the land, that's why it's so easy for me to go out and teach people, respect the land, take what we need. But it also opens their eyes, you know, because sometimes the forest is not healthy. Sometimes we get a tree that's 95 years old, but really flimsy and really fragile. And they say, why is it like that? So we step back and we look at the trees and it's nice and green on the bottom. We go up to the middle, it's pale. And we go up to the top, there's nothing. I say, why is it like that? Acid rain, pollution. You know, there's to every action, there's a reaction. Just that people don't see the reaction. They just know about the action. But when you go into the forest and you see firsthand, you know, the sickness as well as the health, the healthy, there's that balance, like I said, and it opens up people's eyes. And I said, I never really thought of just going into the forest to harvest, but also to admire and also to see for your own eyes the trees and the good and the bad. It's always that door opening for everyone.
Yeah, it was the Kipawa River. Yes. And well, do you have something to add to close this fantastic encounter we have today?
You know, I can only share stories that sticks with me for life. I was working at a tourist site, and I was explaining about the birch bark canoe to people, a tourist. So they left, and this young woman comes in with her daughter. And her daughter must have been about 2 years old. And I went through the process of, you know, telling her about the history and our culture and, you know, just teaching her that. And I said, do you have any questions? So she stepped back. And then she says, I have one. You're First Nation? I said, yes, I am. My question is, what are you guys doing? I said, excuse me? You're protectors of the land. And right now, yous are failing. Wow. I said, did you come here to point fingers? Or, you know, I told her, I will answer that in 1 minute, but I want to ask you one. It's okay if I ask you a question. She says, yes. I said, I see you coming here with your daughter. She's about 2 years old. Now you carried her in your stomach for 9 months. Now she's born. Now you have another journey with her, is to protect her, to open her eyes to, you know, train her and help her see life better. So what do you want to leave her? Water you can't drink, air you can't breathe, trees you can't see. I told her it's here. What do you want to leave her? For your question that you asked me that we're failing, I said, sometimes we get tired of walking alone. You know, there's room for you on the side and you have a good reason to walk with me because you have your daughter. I said, those are good reasons to walk beside me. And she backed up and she just grabbed her face and I don't know. She looked confused. So anyways, she decided to leave and she says, thank you very much. And she left. And I could see her walking away, you know, her head shaking, looking at her daughter and walking, holding her hands. And I said, whoa, I said, that was an odd conversation, but I hope it did something. So the following year, I was doing the same thing with a different program. And she walks in. I look at her. I said, I remember that girl. And I said, oh, another question. So I put my head down. She comes over to me and I was just finished with a group. And I said, do I have to do something again? What I did last year, go through a process and, you know, tell you about culture and what I'm doing. She says, no. She just put out her hand and she reached over and she put out her hand. I said, what's this for? She says, last year when I came here, I asked you a question. And I left with doubts and uncertainty. But I did my research. And I've come here to say thank you. She gave me her hand. She shook it. And she says, I did not open my eyes. Thank you for opening them for me. And I will walk. I am walking beside you, but not the same place, in a different place where I live. She said, thank you very much. And she gave me a hug and she left. I said, and that day, I don't know, I just felt so energized that I you know, even when I got home, I couldn't sleep because I felt so good to say, I changed the way people thought and she's seen what I'm seeing. And she's looking ahead and she sees maybe a better future for her daughter because now she's walking this road of healing and respect. And I said, that's worthwhile. That cannot replace, you can't replace that. That is such a beautiful thing that, you know, I carry with me every day. And I tell the story to the people. So it's nice to have those little adventures, those little stories to share with people. And I hope people do find a good heart to walk with this journey and future to, you know, make it better for the future generation that's coming behind, to have them breathe good air, drink good water, and have a lot of trees to breed with and to use in a good way. That's my wish and that's my hope I'm giving people.
That's a good story to hear.
And I can tell you today, Alexandre and I and all the people of Terres en Vue, we are certainly walking beside you and with you.
Jimmy Witch, that feels good.
Yeah,
feels really good.
Yeah, our the better world for the future generations.
Well, Jimmy Witch, nice. Yeah. Nice.
Alexandre, quelque chose à rajouter?
Non, mais Jimmy Witch, c'est québécois, non? Je suis content de te connaître aussi, de connaître d'autres artisans, parce que c'est ça, chez nous, on a des artisans qui font du canot, mais c'est plus tant accessible pour tout le monde, puis on dirait que j'en cherche aussi, je vais en voir d'autres aussi, là, fait que c'est toujours intéressant d'avoir d'autres artisans qui font du canot. J'aimerais ça en prendre aussi, éventuellement.
Ouais. Merci.
Voilà, alors, merci à Carl Chevrier de nous avoir accompagnés un bout de chemin sur la rue Adadegan. On va bien sûr continuer la semaine prochaine, rencontrer des artistes, des leaders culturels, des écrivains, des sculpteurs, des gens des Premières Nations qui apportent leur créativité, leur tradition, leur culture en partage justement pour que nous progressions comme dans notre humanité commune. Voilà.
Donc on se voit la semaine prochaine.
Salut, merci.